No.
No. No.
What?
Because I was married for two fucking years.
You're a cunt, Ryan.
You cunt.
You're a cunt, Ryan.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to a brand new episode of No, Sir, I Don't Like It. I am Carmen Morales. I am your host. With me, as always, is the very funny...
Brian Volkey!
Pew, 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 pew!
Wow, I'm excited. This is a redo. This is apocalypticus now. Redo.
Redo.
We have a special guest with us today, a Mr. Gary Peterson. Hi, Gary.
Hello, Carmen. Hello, Brian.
Hello, Gary.
I've brought my radio voice today so we can all hear me.
What he's referring to is Gary whispered
an entire episode of this podcast.
Let's back up a second. I worked 90 hours and then
total, ever?
Waited outside your house under a bridge where most people are murdered in LA.
And under the bridge then, is where I drew some blood.
Downtown?
Mm-hmm.
I then went inside sans caffeine. And then near the end of the podcast, your roommate came in. Looking just so sad that we were there, and I felt like an imposition, like I showed up at a restaurant 5 minutes till close and was like, I want creme brulee. So I felt very self-conscious, but I feel like my voice is ready now. It's day I haven't worked. I lost that job. Ready.
Good for you, man.
Ready.
Gary's a comic from Boston.
You like Dunkin' Donuts, Gary?
Dunkin' Donuts!
Donkeys. I love it. It's the best. It originated in Quincy, Massachusetts in 1957. It was originally Kettle Donuts. I grew up in Weymouth, Massachusetts, just over the bridge. I know a lot about Dunkin' Donuts.
Were they racist too? Isn't everybody in Boston racist?
It's funny you should ask. Because
it's almost like you didn't make a list.
I know.
Before
my list is probably my favorite
How
thing.
How many times are you gonna call it out before the audience knows? They know it's a list.
My list is only racist things.
Carmen's spread out like a mermaid right now, just so you know.
I'm comfortable. Shut up.
Very laid back. You got poise, girl.
Is that how you say that?
Poise?
Girl? okay, tell us about your racist family. Racist Boston.
There's a few of them in there, sure. But this was popular probably a month ago. Nobody cares now. But I feel like it was genuinely accepted as fact, and I really resented the idea that Boston was pointed to as racist. It's a racist town. It's got racist things.
Like a Northern Alabama or something.
Exactly.
Like and the David Cross line when he said he moved from Georgia to Boston. He said, out of the frying pan into
the other
frying pan.
And it's got a bunch of truth to it, and I agree with that. And I think that parts of Boston and parts of the area are racist, but you know where else that can be said about? Every fucking place in the world.
That's true.
Boston systematically was very behind the times, 1974, 75. Busing, desegregation. Is this funny yet?
Dude, and, my dad was in the army at that time, and he marched in those desegregation with the army, getting people into schools.
Yeah, that was it was horrifying. And I did a lot of research. I used to be a park ranger in Boston at several sites, so I took it upon myself to research certain things and events. And there's since the beginning, since 1630, with Reverend John Winthrop building the Chinese city on a hill. Chinese city on a hill.
Shiny. I thought you said Chinese. He like, built the Chinese city on a hill.
That's not going to help with this whole racist argument.
Well, he said Chinese. That's respectful.
That I mean, it started as Chinese. We all know that. But yeah, I think the city didn't get the credit it deserved, especially with recent, like, the way it is now, with the whole Syrian refugee protests and stuff. Marty Walsh, mayor, Irish descent, was one of the only people that I had seen come out publicly and be like, our city's a safe haven. We're not going to do what we did to my ancestors that came here and were pushed off as refugees and called all the exact same things. It's a city that can appreciate history, and it's got a long way to go in some areas, but I resent that so much.
As a man with a lot of Boston knowledge, the desegregation thing, why does James Brown come to mind? Didn't he do something?
Yes.
What did he do?
I believe it was the night Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. He was not the senior. Yeah, he was that guy.
Womanizer.
Lot of jerk in that guy. I believe the mayor at the time, I think it was Mayor Kevin White. I don't know.
That's a great mayor name.
For a not racist city. The irony is hitting me.
His middle name was Super.
We want white. White in power.
Vote white.
It was... That's so funny. It was, I think, him that reached out to James Brown. Brown, and they did a concert. I think he was doing it anyways, but they had called for like a huge peace rally to honor Dr. Reverend King Jr. because the last thing you'd want is riots destroying the city, as so many places in the U.S. had that night.
Yeah.
And that was, when was he killed? 67?
No, I think it was like, no, you're right. I think 67, 68.
Yeah, a lot of people died in those 2 years.
Yeah, I know.
Malcolm, Bobby, Medgar Evers, I think.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
Emmett Till. And a bunch of, a shitload of other people on Earth died.
Yep.
In those 2 years, too.
Yeah, he had just the regular deaths.
But James Brown did like a concert or something, right?
Yeah, at the Boston Garden.
And it made things feel good.
One of the cities that didn't riot, I believe. Don't quote me on that.
James Brown is interesting, man. I love that dude. I once got chased by a cop in a golf cart for molesting a James Brown statue in Augusta, Georgia.
What'd you do to it?
Are you sure it was a statue?
I got up on his shoulder with my like cock facing his mouth and took lewd.
Naked?
No, I was in BDUs, which is military. I was in the army at the time. I was in my uniform.
Oh my god! Was this when you were trying to get kicked out?
No, this is when I was just. This is just me being in the army. But yeah, me and my friends, Specialist Sipe, we were at Fort Gordon, Georgia, in Augusta, Georgia, and that's where James Brown is from. Born, he lived there his whole life. Apparently, my favorite James Brown Augusta story is apparently he fucking took a. Like smoked a shitload of PCP one time, jumped in on a high school band rehearsal and directed the band and just screamed and kind of like quivered in front of the high school band and just shook his arms around like fake conducting the band and then just left.
Oh my god.
How amazing would that be if you're sitting there freshman band and you're playing the trumpet, James Brown walks in sweating from PCP.
Just screaming at you? Wow, that'd be amazing.
What did you know?
But there was a life-size statue in downtown, and it's surrounded by a fence. I hopped the fence, and I was butt fucking it, and then I got on his shoulders, and I was taking all these gay pictures with it.
Right.
Do you still talk?
You in the statue?
We keep in touch. It didn't end well, but you know, time heals wounds. But they have cops in Augusta, Georgia. I don't know if they still have this, but they're in golf carts, and they kind of go around downtown in golf carts, which, by the way, really? Very easy to lose on foot. So I shook them. I shook the fuzz.
Did you go up a hill?
No, I actually ran. Cut a few corners and jumped into a building. And the building, which I thought was a storefront, was actually an art space where they were filming a horror movie. And there was a bunch of people in zombie face paint.
Oh, wow.
And I just hung out with these people who were making some DIY zombie movie while the golf cart cop looked for me.
Jesus, that's awesome.
You hate art, don't you, Gary? You hate art?
What art specifically?
I hate Art Monk.
Art Monk. I hate pretentious art. I hate.
What do you mean? What does that mean?
Everybody says that.
Well, I mean,
Make it Gary.
Okay. So on Hollywood Boulevard, I was supposed to do this ghost tour, and then I didn't feel like it, so I just was
Gary
like,
gives walking tours in LA.
Yeah, used to. Lost that job.
Second job you lost, or is that...
In LA, yeah.
Good for you, man.
keeping score.
I'll tell you what. Guy treats his jobs like I treat my keys.
You know?
I just, on the way back, there was a free gallery, and there was a lot of young artists doing what felt like the purposely outrageous modern art stuff.
Give an example. What was it?
One girl was sitting on just a boring desk, and her legs and arms and shoulders were exposed, and she had a pen, and the sign said, "Sign me a message to a Syrian refugee, and I will tattoo one of these on my arm and show them that."
Christ.
There was a person, this door, this swiveling door, this girl was like Christ up in like 5-6 feet up. She was in the middle of the door, sort of pinned between the walls of the door and blindfolded by the American flag.
Creative.
So
you're just talking, it's trite, it's boring, it's so overdone. This is, I mean, like, they've been doing, like, what was Piss Christ? That was, like, 1960-something? 1970? Oh, I only
know the raw D-beat band from Australia with the Japanese singer called Piss Christ. They were fucking good.
Well, that's based off of, like, the...
That's a thing?
That's a thing. It's, it was no an art. It was an art thing, because it was the first time anything religious like that had been defaced and presented as art.
It was actually risky.
Yeah, it was super risky, you know, because it was like, it was, they took a crucifix and they took a jar, they put it in, they pissed in it, and then it was Piss Christ. It got, you know.
You just said so many band names that I like. You really did. Crucifix. I love Crucifix. I love Crucifux, too. And
Piss Christ. Newman.
Randy Newman. Dude, but if these artists came up to you and were like, "Can you fucking believe that I got a full ride to this expensive ass art school, or I'm in this gallery doing this bullshit?" Because I had a friend like that. My friend Ryan got into Pratt in Brooklyn. He took a picture of a turd dangling out of his asshole and then painted it, and then had like, and that was part of his application to Pratt, and he was just fucking with him, and he got in, he got a full ride. But he's a con artist, and he admits it. He's not like serious, and he doesn't. But I bet these people, if you talk to them, they were like, "You know, I'm changing the world with art."
Yeah, and this is going based off nothing but their work, because we're all stand-ups.
Are you okay?
I'm allergic to that word. I consider myself a public speaker.
An artist. But like, we have to do this thing that is art. It's created out of nothing from us in front of a crowd and develop it in front of a crowd. I don't know if it was Carmen, I was talking to you about this, but it's like nobody else, no other thing, no film has to develop in front of the eyes.
Right.
All right, it's a, I'm a citizen and my name's Kane. there's no Kane. so he's got a hat on in the scene. Here we go. Okay. Like it's all pure, like you figure out your thing and words and communication at them and try to communicate it, and based off feedback.
Yeah, you're not editing a film in front of an audience.
Exactly.
You're not
right. and
you're not usually painting something in front of an audience either. They usually just see the final product.
Yeah, they don't go out to the public and go, "You can't handle it when I don't tell the truth."
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I gotta trim that down. How do I get that?
you are the truth, and I
nope.
That is not right. I saw Jack Nicholson once.
Really?
It was really? He was. Where? It was a girl I was dating at the time. She was Jack Nicholson.
She's got a nice rack.
She went to...
she loves sandwiches.
Good seats. Good seats at the Lakers. She graduated Brown Master's Program for education. And the honorary degrees they gave out, one was for a chemist working on a type of chemical combination that was like, "This can help eradicate cancer, just all types of cancer." They're like, wow. "This guy is like the future of it. We don't know if it's going to work. We're giving him an honorary degree." They gave another like honorary degree to a doctor working in some field who donated a lot of his time and work to like helping young children overcome their ailments, like mental disabilities and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then Jack Nicholson. For like honorary arts and
for helping Roman Polanski escape the country.
Yes.
After he fucked a child in the ass.
Out of those three people that did tremendous things, guess which one got to speak.
Not the one who's had a cocaine addiction for 48 years.
The one that's in Wolf is the answer.
Yeah.
He wasn't supposed to, and he gave a little jack, and it was cool. It was fucking cool. But I was like,
who else would you want to see speak? You know,
I want the cure for cancer. God damn it! I've seen Jack. I can rent him. I can rent. Where's the Blockbuster around here? I can rent a movie. I'm living in the past.
I would be surprised if this neighborhood had a Blockbuster, actually.
Yeah, I think there is a video rental store.
This neighborhood we're in is like straight up like 1984. Like in a good way. I love this neighborhood.
Yeah, why do you live here?
Atwater Village.
What drew you here? And I don't mean that as what the fuck are you doing here?
We're at Carmen's place. He's directing this question to Carmen. We're recording in her house.
I have a room and it's big. Mm-hmm. And it's for the amount of money that I want to pay a month. And I live with my friend from high school. Like,
really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Adam, we went to high school together.
He's laughing in the background. Right there, like
we went
he
to
was
high school
mentioned.
Together.
So the guy cured cancer in children? Wait, which one?
Was like a research scientist in cancer. And he also had a Nobel Peace Prize. Or Nobel Prize
of
achievement.
Yeah, but that guy probably doesn't know how to give a good speech.
I know. I was going to say, despite all that, you want to hear Jack.
That's right.
Although you rarely hear Jack talk without saying somebody else's words.
Is that true?
I mean?
So,
'cause he's an actor.
Yeah. And he wasn't supposed to speak that day, and he starts kind of being what seemed like in the moment, maybe it was planned, but he had agreed to get the thing without having to speak, and the crowd kind of booed him into it. Like, politely, wow. They were like, no, please. And some people booed, and I don't blame them. I mean,
Jack right there. Get up there, please.
Yeah, come on, seriously.
And he
give
was
him
like,
a little bit of
he
it.
He had a crazy night last night. And he was all like,
I bet they did.
He's wearing sunglasses.
You know what it would take for Jack to call a night crazy at this point?
Yeah.
Somebody died.
Past
6:30. I think that would be the only way he would qualify is if he died.
I heard he's not doing well. I heard he's got like dementia or something.
He's
80-something.
That
doesn't surprise me. Yeah,
correct.
He's 80. He's an 80-year-old cokehead.
Or he might
so
even,
dope.
He's late 80s at this point.
No.
He must be. Look that up. I don't know.
Okay. Jamie, will you pull up Jack Nicholson's age?
That's a reference to another podcast.
Somebody will get that.
Jamie Loftus?
No. Nope.
Bechdel cast? All right. Going to New Mexico.
Jamie Loftus made up the Bechdel test?
No, she does a podcast called the Bechdel cast.
Oh, the Bechdel cast. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Which is a great podcast. Another one. My podcast, we're getting the band back together. pretty great, too. Put that out. I put out one episode every 8 months. And I keep up with that.
That's really
that's cool.
Good. Dude.
It's all about consistency with podcasts, I've noticed.
Gary actually had the first podcast, and he's only on episode 9.
That's correct. Did that guy lose that was trying to, like...
He's 80. Jack Nicholson's 80, by the way.
Okay. He looks late 80. But
yeah, he was born in 1937.
Yeah.
Wow.
In New Jersey, of all places.
Old boy. What do you think is his... Jack Nicholson's strength?
His strength?
What do you think his biggest strength is?
Well, his heart.
Yeah, that's actually a really good answer.
Best, funniest, and best answer.
Yeah.
end of question. Congratulations on your TV appearances.
Oh, stop
Do you plug that on your podcast that you've been on Punchline?
You brought it up. I didn't want to talk about
it. Oh, let's talk about it. We were there. We were Brian and I.
We already talked about it.
Okay.
He talked about the...
Gary, you were on again this week, though.
Gary, this is about you.
Okay. Okay. All right.
And I want to know how you feel about child homelessness.
It's on my list. I really am bothered by homelessness in general. Always have been. I don't like feeling
That's
helpless.
That's really fucking cool of you.
I am so cool. No, I don't want it to sound like that. But like, I want to do something about it. And I actually came up with an idea that I'm going to do later in the year. That I don't want to burst the bubble on. But there will be announcements, and I'll make you this deal.
What?
Do you have return guests?
Allah? Are you praying?
I am
Allah.
Facing the wrong
Allah,
way.
Allah.
I want to make the big announcement somewhere. about what I'm doing. I'm going to raise some money for a cause. I'm trying to find a group that does elimination of child homelessness that's not corrupt.
Good luck.
I know some people.
Talk to me
after the podcast.
Perfect.
Because yeah. I've talked about this on a previous episode, but I was trying to put together a benefit type of deal, but it's always hard finding an actual organization that has the nonprofit seal that isn't fucking corrupt, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I've worked at quite a few nonprofits.
Yeah.
And
I did too. I worked at a nonprofit organization that gave school supplies to schools. And there was a whole system, and it was it ended up being like a sliding scale. Like, richer schools obviously got less shit, that type of deal, which was cool. But I mean, there were, I don't know. I think a lot of it's a scam, based on how you see the operations.
We talk about it all the time. Planned Parenthood CEO making $700,000 a year. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. How dare you make that an option for women?
Yeah, I don't mind the money he's making. I hate the services they provide.
It's like Uber.
Uber has a great CEO, but everybody who works for him seems to be so uppity.
Uber for wombs. It's Woomber.
For $90,000 a year, he can smack my ass. I'll tell you that right now.
Why? Why is that?
He's a harasser.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's a harasser. But he's no longer the CEO.
That's good.
He stepped down.
But I don't like to feel helpless when there's a big problem that I feel like I could be doing something about. I didn't see a homeless person, I think, till I was about 17, 18, and wasn't a rich
kid.
I worked in the suburb. I lived in the suburbs. And they just weren't around. I'm sure they just killed them when they showed up or something.
Damn, dude. Well, I mean, New England, it's tough with the winter, but I grew up in Maine, and man, we had a shitload. Most of them were retarded. Most of our homeless people were retarded, and my dad
with Down syndrome.
Yeah, literally like that. Wow. My dad had good impressions of most of them, and we all knew their name, and they were taken care of to an extent. The fact that we knew their names, people get them sandwiches, but my dad, there's one guy who'd. There's this one homeless guy. He always wore a baby blue bike helmet, and he was just angry because he was retarded, I guess. And
the whole thing was that you didn't know.
My dad's last name was is same as mine, Vokey, but the guy would say, someday Bogey, I'm gonna get you right in the head. And he would threaten to beat my dad up, but my dad would get him sandwiches and shit. But that became a family joke that we still say to this day.
Wow.
We'll be at the Thanksgiving table going, someday, Bogey. But yeah, Maine was, Jesus. Yeah. Most homeless people that I grew up around in Maine, which is only 2 hours from where Gary grew up, I was in southern Maine, were Vietnam vets or retards.
Yeah. Same. When I started working in Boston, a lot of them were just Iraq war vets, and
that was quick, huh?
Yeah, it turned still.
I know.
Pumping them
out. It's crazy when I get off on the Melrose exit. There's always homeless people right there off the 101, and they always have veteran of Operation Iraqi Freedom and Operation Enduring Freedom. And I was like, man, I was in those. I didn't go to those places, but I took part in those operations. I'm only fucking 32 years old, dude. And it's crazy to think that the people I was serving with, some of them are fucking just destitute and homeless completely. As hell. It's pretty crazy.
How do you feel, and I'm not asking you to speak for all soldiers, but how do you feel about seeing other soldiers out on the street in the same thing you fought in, obviously?
I didn't fight. Let's make that clear.
Okay.
I served, did not fight.
Okay.
I had a very scandalous military career. That's not heroic in any. If you don't like the military, I was very heroic. If you do like the military, I was a bitch. But I do. It does tug at my heartstrings, man, to see that, because I went through basic training with artillery. Like, for some reason, I got attached to everybody I went to basic training with went to war. They were all artillery, Fort Sill, Oklahoma. And they're all just fucking kids trying to go to college. That was the main motivation. Almost nobody had any kind of patriotic. That shit gets beaten into you later. But mostly the reason why people join up is to go to college and get some money, because they're fucking broke. Their farm is dry, or they're from the hood, or whatever. And so to know that, to go down the street and see somebody with a sign that says, I fought in this war, it's like you grew up broke, This was, you were sold this fucking opportunity that was going to get you out of the situation. All you were was thrown into a war and then thrown right back on the street, and you're actually worse off than you started. Mm-hmm. It fucking kills me. Yeah. It makes me so mad.
I was homeless as a teen for a and I use homeless in this sense, that I had friends that would let me sleep indoors for, and they'd let me bounce around, but I could not go home for a while. Couple years. I still had close relationship with my dad and saw him all the time and finished high school and stuff like that. But when I see kids out on the street, I feel kind of similar.
Yeah.
It pulls at you. You're like, God, they could be going through 10 times worse than whatever I went through, you know.
I saw a kid at MacArthur Park, which is a place where a lot of, he was like 10 years old. And he, you know how there's like, I don't know if other towns are like this, but any city in California is so weird because it's such a, they have their head up their own ass in the state. They think they're the most fucking progressive utopia, but
it's so obnoxious.
And they're the most really vicious is. Homelessness I've seen yeah. anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I know in Bay Area and down here, there's just like, it's not uncommon to see like a office chair in the middle of a park. And I like saw this kid like just kind of swiveling around. He's like 10 years old and he's like swiveling around. And I was like, this kid might as well be in fucking Syria. You know, as far as his day-to-day life is concerned, he's just living in a trash pit. How's that even, like, I don't understand. Like, how, with, especially in L.A., when you have the fucking, I went to a house, I cater, like, fancy events, and I went to a house in the hills, in the Hollywood Hills, that was a many million dollar house, and it had all glass walls. And this, I don't know, I can't remember the guy's name, but he's the largest private art collector in America. And he built this house just to show his art to his friends. And he had an opening.
Was that for pretentious?
The house was opening, and he was showing, and in the middle of the night, or right when the sun sets, he hits a button on a remote control, and all the glass walls sink into the ground. And you're just out looking at downtown L.A., and then the art comes down, and the art is just like kind of dang, this like $1 million worth of art just kind of dangling right in the air. Like, mm-hmm. I can't really explain it very well. And to see that level of wealth,
it's so, yeah.
And then, because I started the job in MacArthur Park, which is a place with a lot of homeless people, then I had to drive up there with the food, then I had to come back down to MacArthur Park and see this kid sitting in a fucking office chair living in a goddamn tent after seeing.
You're literally seeing both sides in the same day. That's got to be fucked.
I wanted to unload a machine gun at all those people. Like, how dare you?
It's greed. That's how this happens. Greed. It's the false notion is, Miss Bliven, my 11th grade teacher, I owe her this, is that pursuit of money is evil is wrong. It's the pursuit of greed. So when I think of bigger things that I can't affect now because of my station in life, it hit me that I'm like, oh, I just need to make $1 billion and I will be able to make actually effective change on a large scale. Other than that, I don't even want to talk or think about it, or, you know, unless I can give a substantial amount of money to something, to a good thing that could go to it, I don't believe.
Because that's the only thing that's really going to make a difference is the money.
You know, it's not always that, though. Like, I have a friend in Olympia. Her name's Meg, and she is one of the coolest people I've ever met in my life. She ran a program that existed before she ran it called Eggy Hop. I can't remember what it stands for. That's an abbreviation. And they do outreach all over Olympia. And she's on first name basis with basically over hundreds of homeless people in Olympia. And she organized them, and she fucking went to City Hall, and she advocated for city funding, and she got a shelter open that was a shelter that didn't have religious terms, didn't have, you know, she got, because a lot of the shelters, because the people who fund it have an agenda, and you have to subscribe to certain philosophies to get into the shelter.
I know.
This was just a public open shelter where people are treated like humans, and she probably has five roommates. She's just some punk kid, and she has effected massive change in the city of Olympia without any money. It's unbelievable. It really is.
That's a unique human being.
Yeah.
I don't think I have that kind of strength.
I
have enough strength and smarts, I think, to make money. But I've become more cynical and stuff about like the nation and how things are just controlled by money. We're talking about voting.
Yeah.
Carmen and I was like, do you vote? And she's like, yeah. And you said,
do you believe in it? And I was like, nah.
I believe it happens.
Yeah. I filled out a thing and I gave it to someone. Yep.
It may or may not be counted.
Yeah, that's it. But from that point on,
Yeah.
But I'm still participating just in case.
You know, I think that that's a real, like, people younger than us, they don't have that cynicism on voting because their only example is Trump. And it's like, well, Trump kind of blew up that don't vote argument because it was like, man, we really shouldn't have voted that guy in. You know what I mean? Like, we haven't had a president like that. Like for people our age, I think we're all around the same age. The first president I could vote for was the Bush election.
Yeah, me too.
The second one. The first one, I was 15.
You guys are older than me.
So, yeah, because I'm born in 85. So, the second term. But, like, my first experience with an election that I was 15 years old during was the one where the Supreme Court just gave it to George W. Bush.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody I know was soured on, like, what's the fucking point of voting?
Yeah. The story of America in the last 30 years in, like, the same names and characters, it's very, it's overused right now. People saying Shakespearean, but, like, you can pin it to 12 key people.
Hey, do you know before he was Shakespeare, he was Will? Have you seen the billboards? Has anybody else seen this?
What?
I have no idea what this fucking show is about. There's some show on some network and there's billboards all over town that have a picture of some 20-year-old, like, dumb-looking actor with pouty lips, and it says, before he was Shakespeare, he was .. Will. What is that about?
I don't know. That's the point of that billboard. So you go watch this stupid show.
No, I'm not going to watch it.
I bet it's your favorite show. I bet it's going to be the best show ever.
It's just about him before he was before the reason we like him?
Yeah.
Well, who cares?
It's origin story. Everybody cares.
I love.
They pretend, though.
I love a bad origin story. VH1's Hysteria, the story of Def Leppard. I love it.
Why?
It's just so corny.
That, like, Def Leppard. I'm Keith Moon with two arms.
Yes.
Then he loses the arm, and when he comes back, and they let him back in the band, he has one arm again, and he falls out of the chair and goes, "I'm Keith Moon," and that's the big moment.
Hey, we have fun. Yeah. I love the moment in, like, so many biopics where this guy's just like, "Hey, what a great show you did. Oh, thanks. What's your name? It's just Elvis Presley." I love how dumb that is. Yeah. And, like, it's just shoved in there. It's probably real too. We all meet people at different points, but fuck, it makes me laugh so much.
What's your name, sir? I'm the Big Bobber.
Can I get you anything else? The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Tell you what, Buddy Holly, how about you take a private plane with me? It's snowing, but I'm sure it'll be fine. Gary is known amongst his friends as making movie references nonstop. And one of the first movie references I ever got was VH1's biopic on Def Leppard's Hysteria. I'm like, now that I've seen.
I'm throwing you softballs. Yeah. You gotta know your audience. That's key. I've been trying to be more weary of that, but I'm such a movie nerd. I love it.
We're not here to talk about what you like.
What movie do you hate? What's the movie you hate the most?
I'll tell you, there's quite a few I really don't enjoy. I can't.
I'm certain. I don't think you could be a movie snob and not have just as large of a collection.
Freak.
I'm not a snob.
You're not?
But you're wrong about that. I hate now that I can't go see a movie without ever heard how great or how terrible it is before I've seen it. That's a symptom that I really despise right now.
So you have to, like, you almost have to go to the premiere or go the second it's released before you can be completely unbiased by it. Or
be in the editing bay before it's ever announced.
You got to get the rough cut.
The dailies.
So
give me the dailies.
I'm trying.
I'm going to see if I'm going to like this movie in 9 months.
I really, what was that one? The Lost City of Z. That was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I never heard of that.
It was like about this explorer.
Which was supposed to be such a fun book.
Yeah, like this guy who went into the Amazon and mm-hmm. still areas that are very uncharted. And he went twice and he almost died like every time and his crew. And
he ends up bringing his kid.
And he disappears.
I literally forgot the Amazon was a place. I was thinking of the website. And I was like, what's the least?
He went deep into it.
What are the dark quarters of the Amazon?
This is past, this was past prime for sure.
Professional wrestlers' books.
My favorite racist thing about Amazon is the you can read reviews about like Mein Kampf and all this stuff like that, and people are like 4 stars, 1 star. And then my sister did a paper on like white supremacy or something in college, so all her recommendations for like the last 9-10 years have been like, you might also love Burning Crosses in Atlanta. Bundle it with Ghosts of Mississippi.
Pre-order Milo Yiannopoulos's book now.
Oh, God.
Those algorithms don't forget.
No. No.
I'm a different person now.
I know. Is that why my Google search always thinks I'm breastfeeding?
Yes. Because you like that fucking tip porn you like so much.
You monster.
They're trying to sell your pumps.
Yeah, they always want to sell me breast pumps. I have 10 of them now. I can't say no.
It's a good deal. I buy in bulk. Movie I hate. God, come back to me on that.
There's so many. Or what do you hate about the movies? Because you're so passionate about this. I'd be curious to hear like with the hate side on that.
I hate that some people, obviously that's the thing, you can't, don't talk during a movie. I like to whisper to the person next to me or something. But I mean, don't go to the movie and be on your phone or just be like, I like this, like loudly.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's fine. You can check your phone.
Yeah, we probably shouldn't go to the movies together. I do that.
Yeah, we...
I am enjoying this. Whoever's doing... Who's in the middle of a film? I am enjoying what is happening right now.
I used to hate when people would get up and go to the bathroom, but I now have to pee like 11 times a movie.
Dude, I can't stand that when I have to do that. Like when Prince died, we went to see Purple Rain, me and some friends. It was actually comedian Bruce Gray and comedian Christian Piper.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and comedian is in quotes.
I'm just making fun of how people because when you make a Facebook page, you have to write like for your separate page.
Oh, yeah.
Because mine are both Brian Vokey, and it doesn't work. I should have comedian Brian Vokey. But anyway, we went to see Prince, Purple Rain, and we were sitting in the middle of a packed theater. People are singing along. I had to piss, so I just went home. Like, I got up. I,
damn.
Like, I had to say excuse me to, like, 7 people, and they're all having a great time.
Yeah.
And then I went to the bathroom, and I was like, I can't interrupt them again. And so I just went home. And then I forgot to tell them. And so Christian's like, hey, where are you? And I was like, oh, I'm in bed. I don't like getting up at movies.
I had this is a very hateful experience. It was crazy. Yeah. It was the premiere-ish, I think it was like day after, of Star Wars Force Awakens. AMC lounge chairs, signed seating.
Yeah.
So you know where you're sitting? That's genius. It took us this long to figure out that, like, oh, I don't have to run to the movies to fight people.
Like a Who concert.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I had my good seats. My 2 buddies were coming along. We all had seats together. Got the food. Everything's there. Told explicitly by AMC that costumes are no longer allowed because someone murdered a bunch of people. And that's my problem now. So I can't dress up, which I never
You're
did.
Like, I literally wore nothing under this Jedi robe. I have to wear it.
I have no other option.
Historically accurate, sir. I wore a cape.
You know how it is on Tatooine.
Was it Dark Knight Rises? The guy shot the stuff up. I wore my cape that I used to have as a kid and my Batman shirt. That's it. Just a fun little thing, but they would have thrown me out after that.
Did you really do that?
I wore a cape. Got a picture of it. Proof. My sister and I went. We loved the movie. It was fun. Loved it. Good time. This time, not dressed, with friends. Movie starts, trailers. They only had like 1 trailer. They're like, we're going to give you one trailer. We're going right in. I'm like, yes.
Wow. What was the trailer for?
Lost City of Z, probably. no, I have no idea. This guy comes in. I think he was like Albanian or something. You know, different.
Yeah, yeah.
And
war people. War.
he was with this girl, and he starts going, hey, can we sit there? Can we sit right with you two right there? Can we switch? My seat's there. And this girl's with him is like, I don't want to bother these people. They have their seats. We aren't sitting
together.
They wanted
you to scoot down so then they
could sit
there? And
he's like, I survived slow down Milosevic. You're fucking moving.
No, they wanted us to give up our seats. There was no room to scoot down. Their seats were two separate seats apart.
The audacity.
Like completely opposite ends of the theater. And a guy kept going, and person be like, no. And then he go to a next person. He was going down the row.
Oh, wow.
My buddy, comedian, again in quotes, Peter Martin. No, he's hilarious. Love him. Won Boston Comedy Festival. He's a big, stocky
Peter
guy.
Peter Martin?
Peter Martin, kid. He was a wrestler in high school, big stocky dude, and he just like, I see him like getting kind of like, his head's turning.
Loose in his neck.
I felt my jaw move tight, and then I was like, oh, I'm with Peter. He's gonna go insane.
He's like, I want you to ask me.
And he's very like Bill Burry, like, God, Jesus, dude. Like,
they all are, dude.
All Boston people
they
like
all
that.
Are.
He had that fuse, and like, he like did what everybody wanted. He was just like, you made a mistake. You don't have seats together. Just go sit. You're bugging everybody. You're bugging everybody. The whole theater hates you. And it's like you see like Lucasfilm come up. And like the guy is so shocked that someone would talk to him. So like the girl literally leaves. The guy then sits in his seat, which is one row in front of us. His one seat. And does continual looks behind him at Peter going, oh, like he's just flabbergasted. And I'm like, Peter, you're my hero. And he's like, guys, ridiculous.
Dude, Slavic people don't die, though. You cannot fight Slavic people.
Peter could. I think he could.
Dude, my friend busted like 6 2-by-4s over a Slavic dude's head.
Wow.
Why?
In Boston.
Why?
Because, okay. Here,
yeah, I know.
Like Boston was the owl Boston. I guess.
They were in Boston. They were having a party, and it was getting loud, and he told them to quiet down, and you know they were rowdy punks, so they said, fuck you. Mm-hmm. And actually, this guy was Russian. He wasn't Slavic. But he poured gasoline on their porch and started a fire on their porch. And so my friend fought him. And there was a bunch of 2x4s because they were like the porch was amid construction and they were expanding the porch. So there was a bunch of lumber there. And he hit this Russian dude with 2x4s and he would not go down.
Wow.
And then I went over there, not Russia, but I was in like Slovakia and like places like that, Hungary. And all those dudes had like dents in their heads from like. They did, dude. They all had like big dents
in their
skulls.
They're just scratching dead dudes.
They just all looked like they were like dinged up fucking monsters. And it was so scary. And I was like, dude, and I was in a band with the dude who hit the Russian with the 2x4s. And he's like, keep your mouth shut around here. Like these people that you can't fucking kill them. Like,
can't kill them.
Yeah.
Wow.
I love the Russians. I want to go. I want to go to Russia. Right now.
Cool. I think it'd be cool. You guys want to go?
Right before the sanctions kick in. Scary.
Scary
you
Russia.
You guys talk now. I've talked too much.
It's about you, Gary.
It's never about me. Not when I'm up on stage as a comedian. It's about the Lord. You guys are real dirty on this podcast, huh?
What?
I just wanted to be self-righteous for a second.
Oh, I didn't know it was a dirty podcast. You should have told me. I wouldn't have come. What's on the list?
What's on the list?
Packets. I don't know what that means. What do you like about packets?
Submitting. Sugar packets?
Writer's packets.
Oh, I'm with you on this, dude. I'm balls deep in a bunch of packets right now.
Yeah, I did one for a thing, and we'll keep it that vague. And I wrote jokes that I did not like, and a great comedian that was reading over my stuff said, you know, you got to dumb this down.
I think I wrote for the same packet.
Yeah. And I was like, what do you mean dumb? People are smart, and they're like, no, nope. Don't know whether or not.
Fuck it. Let's go into it. You're being too vague. Let's get into it.
It's a specific. It's
daytime game show jokes.
Mm.
Yeah.
And so why do you say like you don't know what I'm talking about? Like,
a lot of smart people have jobs, and a lot of those jobs are during the day. And mm-hmm. so they're not going to be watching that. It's the people who aren't working.
Yep.
Or at home.
I used to volunteer in a nursing home.
And I'm not saying that there's only dumb people that don't work during the day. I don't have a day job, you know? I'm not saying that
you're
I'm
not changing. Can you give another
can you give another example?
We were racing to insult.
I know you were both frothing at the mouth for that one.
Dude, but that was my like the point Boston is Marathon.
That it can't be.
These aren't for.
And it's not even like fully jokes. These are like quips.
Yeah.
For a, like a host to say or something like that.
Kids that skip school, like millionaires are out on yachts. It's a lot of like elderly folks, I imagine, watching daytime TV. I don't know the stats, but yeah, I get it. I get it. You got to write for a demo. I did it, and you know the whole selling out argument. I want to get into that because that bothers me.
No, I'm completely unfamiliar with that.
Punk. Oh, good. Get ready to be educated, my young man.
Okay.
I think you got to use every opportunity you can because you don't just start as Mel Brooks. Like you start as the waiter who doles out sour cream in the Catskills. That's what he did, and someone didn't show up for a thing. And he then replaced a 40-something-year-old man on stage, and he was, I believe, 15?
He had his whole act memorized. He had a 45-minute act memorized just from being a waiter and watching this guy.
And he butchered it, and he started to fall apart, and one of the other actors chased him with a butcher knife. Because he bombed.
Is that like, where the term butchered came from?
Exactly.
Is that Mel Brooks?
Mel Brooks. But you get what I mean. It's like, you got to start somewhere at the bottom. It could be a stepping stone, or I do this for the rest of my life. I've sold out and I have health insurance. I don't care either way. I'm just down. DTC. Down to comedy. You know what I mean?
I thought you were going to say cash.
What do you think? What do you think the selling out is? Do you think that's just people trying to shit on people who are doing things? Or do you think there is an actual selling out?
It's a very, it's a hard question.
I know.
You know what? I hate with these packets. I know the packet you're talking about because I submitted for the same thing.
Saturday Night Live. Go ahead.
I just hate.
And Lauren calls me and Lauren says it's too good. And I'm like, I can't change
Kevin,
it.
Kevin, it's too. Kevin?
No.
Why did I call you Kevin?
Because I changed my name for the show. He said, Gary's too Jewish. And I said, I'm not Jewish. And it's a big thing right now. We're in negotiations.
Gary and Stan.
Your impression is terrible.
I love doing bad impressions because that's all I can do, so I have to learn to love it. But, dude, for real, though, I hate this assumption that daytime, like, just because fucking old people are watching it or young people are watching it, that the jokes have to be bad.
Yep.
I don't like that. Why can't the jokes be good?
I don't know. I don't know why, but it is. I mean, what? Have you watched daytime TV?
I don't understand why.
It's bad.
Why? It doesn't have to be, though. That's the thing.
Right.
Everybody's just agreed that because it's during the day, it has to suck.
Yeah.
And there's no reason for that.
Good point. We sold out to that idea. I think sellout is a vague thing. Let me pin that down. Is that some people will call you not an artist, not true to what you believe in, if you take money to do something else. Like, you know, Bamford did Target commercials and she had jokes about being like a sellout and like how, and I don't know how she actually felt about it. And she was like, but I'm painting my home in different shades of white. And like, it was just this silly thing. But like, we're working. How are you not selling out when you're working at Walgreens to pay your bills for $10 an hour? Are you like, I think life is. It's certainly, it's a different meaning if you're like, I'm going to do an act, I'm going to do a whole thing, my entire career as this like character thing that I don't believe in, just to exploit a thing. Like, I feel like Jeff Dunham is that, and he's very successful, but he exploits the racism of people through puppets.
Dude. Yeah, it's just puppets.
I feel like that's a sellout bullshit thing.
I think the moral thing that people feel, like when you're comparing Maria Bamford to doing commercials for Target and people working at Target and who's selling out and who isn't, I think it's There's less of a moral conundrum when you're being exploited by something as opposed to profiting off of something. You know what I'm saying? And Maria was profiting off of Target and all their practices. And
so then, what do you think selling out is then?
I mean, you talk to anybody who has been like a rebellious person their whole life.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I was going to say, as each year goes on, as you get older in life and your back starts to hurt, the concept of selling out becomes more and more vague and confusing.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know? So, like, it's hard for me to answer that question. And I don't.
That's why I wanted to ask it, because I remember when I was like 17. You know, I knew exactly what selling out was. I could pick and choose who was selling out and who wasn't.
Who's the biggest sellout to you? Was it like boy bands and like other artists?
Well, because I thought those were sellouts because they were created by somebody else. Like, it wasn't like these were a group of dudes that like were all friends and they were like, we're going to make it as a group that sings together. Like,
the
it wasn't. Yeah, exactly. It wasn't something like that. It was a dude, a fucking coked out weirdo, was like, I ain't going to make money off these kids. And then, you know, things that are created for people to consume, I think, is selling out.
And I'll tell you, Backstreet's Back, one of my favorite songs.
Sure, I enjoyed it. Listen, I consumed it still.
Yeah.
I like AJ Carter. He's dope. Have you seen his mugshot?
Yeah, AJ's pretty rad. That's my favorite one at all of them.
I don't think he was in it. No, his brother was. He was like a pop star after Backstreet. His brother, Aaron Carter
was
in it. Oh, that's right.
Why do we, the two men?
I'm sorry.
That's a stereotype.
You care more about it.
He just got busted in Cleveland, which is a dope city to get busted in. And he had a neck tattoo and he had drugs on him and he was going like 110 miles an hour.
Attaboy.
Fucking badass, dude.
I love it. I'd say that.
But without the Backstreet Boys, there's no rebellion. He had something to have to rebel against.
I'm sure. I figured out how to rebel, and I was never in the Backstreet Boys.
I'm saying that's
you weren't?
Something. No,
but
I
believe it or not.
But that's what I'm saying. You needed a. He's a rich kid. Like,
yeah.
You said I'm saying like. So it's
that's another thing that when I specifically in punk and being entrapped in DIY punk the world and the anarchist world is what you realize. Holy shit! All these people who are so pure to their ethics and so more black and white. Oh, their parents are loaded.
Mm-hmm.
And then the people who are making weird decisions have to fucking figure out ways to get money.
Well, yeah, because they have to.
Exactly.
There's a need. It's like, yeah, there's no room for like financial to be ornery to pick and choose. Like, that's what we're all striving for. I want to be able to just say no to the shit gig in Paducah, Kentucky. I want to say no to that.
Do you know who books that?
Yeah, I'll give the information afterwards. But it's like we have to work up to that point.
Exactly.
That's the point that we all hope to get to. But when you can just have that and then just be bougie about shit and I'm selling out. Fuck you.
I just did a one-nighter in Vegas that was shitty, but it paid $100.
I'm doing it in a few weeks.
Yeah. And
really?
Yeah.
I'll
give you the info for that.
Yes, exactly. So we're all here like, but I'm talking to some friends, some LA comedians, and one of them, she's a dear friend of mine. She's like very young and her parents pay her rent and she has good representation already. And she's at JFL right now. She's on a track.
You sound really happy for her.
I am. I believe it or not. No. I am. The reason why I have this tone is because I told her I was doing this one-nighter. I was like, yeah, we're driving there and we're driving back. And she's like, why would you even do that? And I'm like, because I don't have representation, because I'm not going to Just for Laughs in Montreal, because my parents don't pay my rent. Well, how many more reasons can I give you?
Yeah.
It's stage time. I like performing comedy. Mm-hmm. I like doing it in different arenas. It makes me stronger.
Yep.
Well, how many different fucking reasons do you need?
Right. But then
that's the sellout thing where like she's like, if you can't do what you're going to do, like, because I said it had to be PG-13 or whatever. And she's like, but you're going to have to change your set. Like, you're not being true to yourself. And it's like, it's very frustrating. It's very, very frustrating.
But there's also that's the thing, is I also think there's a difference between like you being so rigid that people can't make money off of you, which is also the point of this, or you compromise a little bit without sacrificing your entire sense of self. Like, I also think that there's a gray area in between there, which is the compromise. Like, if you pitch an idea if, say, you wanted to do a Sandy Hook spoof, right? They're not going to...
Why would I want to do that?
Because it's on brand for you. We're just talking on some brand
for
you.
I do think Sandy Hook is the funniest thing that's ever happened.
Right, exactly. So if you were to pitch that to a network...
Actually, never happened, sorry.
If you were to pitch that to a network and then... You know, and then
pitch my Sandy Hook spoof to a network.
Right. You guys, you're missing a daytime market.
Here.
Truthers don't leave the house.
They don't.
No, truthers consume.
They're drawing
content.
A new map of what they think the world looks like.
It's flat, man. It's flat.
There's more land past Antarctica. They don't want you to know about it. There's. But it was that whole thing, like, so they counter with moon landing and you end up with 9/11.
Yeah,
you see what I'm saying? Like, all of those things happening.
I know. I was just using her as an example of somebody who, like, sure, you don't take on any gigs that make you uncomfortable because you don't have to.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about money and you have representation already. But, so you get to just do what makes you feel good.
Yeah.
Because and you're in that world
don't
of comfort.
Don't poo-poo what I have to do because, I don't know why I'm rhyming, but I need to do this for me on so many, like, levels just to feel normal. It's mm-hmm. like eating or breathing. Like, it's just a reflex. I have to do it, and when you look at like what I have to do and go, ugh, why? That's super frustrating,
right?
That's like, don't
well,
look
and
down.
Not only
upon
that,
me.
But it's just blatant privilege in your face. Like, it's blatant. It's that's the most privileged thing to be like, oh, why are you doing your job like that?
I know.
Like, get the fuck out of here.
And it, yeah,
it's yeah, so because my daddy doesn't know the company, and I don't just get to go and speak at fucking company picnics. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're Kerouac-like wanderers. I like it. I think of like the old baseball days when they were just in a bus.
Yeah.
And they went from town to town. They made like $11 in their lifetime and were abandoned and pitched like 87 innings a day.
Yeah.
So all these crazy things. Mm-hmm. I think there's a bit of a romantic side of stand-up that I've never fallen out of love with, where I will, like, late Saturday night, I'm driving to Albuquerque with a friend. We're literally going, doing the show, coming back, because we both have to work Monday. Mine's a very physical job, too. I beat up people for money. And
or he used to 7 years ago. He used to beat up people.
But I was let go.
He lost that
job
too.
Counting four. So I have to do that. You know, I just love it.
Yeah,
you guys get it.
Yeah, it's just really strange to me when I have to explain why I'm doing to another comic why I'm doing a one nighter in Vegas.
Bunch of jerks.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get more specific. And it's not jealousy. It's the way she made me feel about what I'm doing. I'm not worried about what she's doing.
But that's the whole thing, is it's being judged by you having your own, like, doing a different path.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because there is no real path.
Correct.
You know, that she's doing a lot easier path than what you're doing. And neither one of them is better.
I hate the jealousy shit in comedy.
Yeah, it's really obnoxious.
It's
and
awful.
It's cock-blocking of your own progress. It's such a waste of time. Like, to me, and I've talked, I don't know if we've talked about this on the podcast, but I'm pretty sure I've talked to you about this in general, but this is golf. We're playing an individual sport.
Yep.
Like, in the minute you start fucking worrying about somebody else's game, you're worrying about things that don't affect your game at all.
You can't control their game.
Yeah, you can't, just because they slice the ball doesn't mean that you're going to, now you're tweaking with your own swing.
Well, your clubs are different.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I lost about, three of my best friends when I got the opportunity to audition a first round audition with a bunch of people. I think it was 3 or 4 years in. And just the opportunity to audition at a club in Boston, which I'm pretty sure the guy that went and did the thing was using it as a vacation.
Right.
And because of that, three friends immediately that were like my compadres of comedy, we all started together, we mic'd together, we all were similar looks and styles and jokes, and they all turned their backs on me, and like the jealousy started, and we've since like patched things up, but it will never be
the same. The way it was.
I won't.
It's so unfortunate.
Yeah.
I feel like that's not, that's because it's so important for us because our brains are what we make money off of, it's so important to have it set up in a place that's functional for you to be able to create, you know? Mm-hmm. So you try to eliminate things like that. That's why it's like, the farther I moved up in stand-up, the cooler the people were.
I noticed that.
You know? Like, cause the...
That's 100% true.
That's why, I mean, that's part of the reason why I don't party as much as at Mike's as I used to, because a lot of that petty bullshit, it bums everybody out.
It sucks.
And it doesn't make you feel good or creative or feel good about what you're doing. None of that shit helps at all. Mm-mm. You know? And then when you're around people at work, you're like, oh, fucking, you had to go to, I'm doing that fucking Vegas gig and you're going to go get the money. You know what I mean? And you look at each other and you fucking get it. You know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I understand. And in there's like a mutual appreciation and a mutual, like, you know, you and your coworker. This is a coworker. They get it.
Also, if you believe in yourself, you'll never be threatened. Like I was going to say, I don't know if I've told this on the podcast, but I've told Carmen this. One of the most like baller, I don't say baller, but it's, I need a shower
now. Who cares?
It's
too late. Hey, be you.
That's not me, man. I don't say baller. I don't know where that came from.
You've been hanging out with Bruce too much.
that's true. One of the most confident, like, I've told this story to you, Carmen, but we were at Potluck, which open mic. It's an open mic at the Comedy Store, and like 200 comics come. I mean,
every single Monday,
at
5:30 at the Comedy Store on the Sunset Strip in Los Angeles. It is filled with hundreds of comedians trying to get up, and there's only like 12 or 15 spots, right?
Yeah, there's 15,
16 spots.
Spots.
There's 16 spots.
16 only. It's usually 15.
Yeah, 15 or 16 spots. There's hundreds of comedians there waiting to go up,
and the hosts, because the people who get to host it are like, mostly they're open mic level people who work the door at the Comedy Store, so they love a chance to shit on open micers and feel above them even though they're the same level. So you're going up in a situation where the host trashes the next 15 people. They're like, these next people are gonna suck, but it's gonna get better. They leave the lights on, they leave the window open, the curtain up, so it's bright in there. It's just, they set you up to be in the worst position possible, and there's hundreds of comics trying to do it. And so when you get on that, a lot of the comics' attitude is, I'm not going to laugh at other comics because I want to kill this room, so I want to stand out. And it becomes so unsupportive. Mm-hmm. And then you got Carmen sitting up in the front row. Just, if something's funny, she laughs. She's not being stupid supportive. You're just laughing at shit that's funny.
Because to me, I wait in line too. So I get up, I've been doing comedy a lot longer than a lot of people that sign up.
About an hour, hour and a half.
You know, hour and 15 minutes maybe at the most. But then like, you know, so I've gotten to get up a lot faster than some of the other people have.
Not really. It took you 10 years, but.
Touche. See, you know what? Thank you. That really makes me feel better, actually. Yeah,
it's not really so faster.
I resent that you get up faster than me. Go ahead.
But it, like, the whole point is that everybody that gets... It should be fun. We're getting to do comedy at the world famous Comedy Store. Like, it should be a fun place. Mm-hmm. And it shouldn't be dingy and like, and people, it's bitterness without it fucking being earned.
Yeah, unearned bitterness is the grossest thing you could
ever
have.
It's so obnoxious. So I'm like, and that's the thing is, if I've been doing comedy 10 years and I'm excited about getting on a fucking open mic, I'm going to be supportive of everybody else because, hey, we did it. We are the people that made it on stage.
But even
tonight.
More in your defense, the time I'm talking about, you weren't even on. You weren't even on this potluck.
Oh, I didn't.
You were just sticking around because I was on it.
Yeah,
you're hanging out and watching.
If people that I like are on, then it's still a celebration.
You sat in the front row, you laughed at funny shit, and it's like, you know what that says? That says you believe in yourself, you know you're funny, you're not threatened by other comedians, and you like comedy, and it made you look like a professional.
Yeah, like the other night, we went to, that was my very first time at the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
And we went to the belly room.
And it was a pop-up open mic, so there wasn't anybody there.
But
there
was still like some people.
Yeah, there were still some people there.
And the host called, what was his name?
Mike Schmidt.
Mike Schmidt. Very nice guy.
Good host, too, by the way. I'd never seen him host before.
Calls people, come sit over here. I'm like, yeah. I got up and sat over there, and you guys sat close. Mm-hmm. And you know, you went up, Brian, and then immediately left. And then
I don't have a car. I don't have a car. My ride. I am dictated by my ride.
I get it. Brian has mobility issues.
I am immobile, according to y'all.
Was that before or after the car that I said that? Was that a prophecy that I said?
Immobile? I thought Carmen said it. Because you said I
typed it for her. So
this is when we were trying to get Gary out of work.
So this is,
and he wrote an email saying you are my son and oh, you have mobility yeah. issues. Yeah, yeah. This was like months
oh,
ago.
Oh shit! So, I forgot about that.
This is
so you are. Are you a psychic?
It was. You know.
Did you destroy my car?
I
you did.
I gotta go. Shouldn't have got that audition.
For the listeners at home, a driver totaled my car while it was parked in the middle of the night and drove away, and I got no insurance money for it. That's what we're referring to.
So Brian's like having a hard time getting around, so we're making fun of him because we're good friends. Make things worse.
And if you said "aw," I'd throw up.
No, so the car thing. The first, I still own the car. It's here. I drove it to LA, 4,000 miles. 23 hours and 20 minutes into owning my brand new car. Driver in New Hampshire without insurance sideswiped me. Cost $10,900 worth of damage that he could not pay for.
Wow, dude.
And I was just, and he bumped me over into a lane that I could have gotten into head-on collision on the opposite side of a highway. So I almost died. But it wasn't as bad. It was just, I remember pulling over and, the guy came over and he's like, "Are you all right? Are you okay, man? You all right?" I was like, no. He goes, "Oh man, I don't have insurance."
Oh my God.
That's so New Hampshire. They fucking hate the government, New Hampshire, or any system.
And it's, I just was like, you have to go now. You have to get away from me. He's like, "What?" I was like,
"You'll go to jail."
I said, "Get away from me. Go in your car. The police will be here soon, I'm sure. Go away." And I was on a paleo diet at the time, so no sugar or anything. So, and I was like doing okay with diet thing at that moment. And as soon as the tow truck driver picked me up to drive back to Massachusetts, he's like, "You want to stop at a gas station?" I was like, "I need 4 donuts. I need them." I start coping with donuts. And I didn't have a car. I've drained my savings completely. I didn't have a car for about 4 weeks. My brand new car, you know.
Wow, that sucks.
Sucks.
So you drained your savings in exchange for not sending somebody to jail.
No. I had to get a rental car. My job at the time depended on it. And I didn't check
he's
off that extra.
You could have pressed charges against that guy.
I had to sue my own insurance company, which then they would sue him. That was how it worked. Because I paid insurance to cover that exact
thing.
The
uninsured motorist thing.
Mm-hmm. So the rental car drained your savings. You didn't have $10,000 to fix your car.
Correct.
Okay, I was like, at first in my mind, I was thinking, $10,000 saved up? What were you, like a cop?
No. I managed a kiosk at a mall. I had far from money.
What was the kiosk? Dreamcatchers?
It was Israeli hand cream. No. Those can I ask you a question about your skin? What, do you hate me? It was...
May I occupy a moment?
I've had that
time.
Series of questions said to me
God
so many
damn
times.
It. I worked... I say two things about that. One, I know how racial tensions... more about that than anyone else in the world because I worked at a gift card cart for a company in between Palestinian scarves and Israeli hand cream. So I was the Gaza Strip of the South Shore Plaza. That's what I called
wow.
it. And the Palestinian dude, cool as shit. Love him. Great. The Israeli folks, I like them on paper. And I walked by them for 3 years. And every season, every Christmas mm-hmm. season, I would go up, I'd introduce myself, I said, "My name's Gary, I work over there. If you guys need anything, you need change, anything you want, I'm Gary, I'm over there, I'm here every single day, my name is Gary, do not sell me hand cream, I will not buy it." That's okay, we're coworkers. We're like coworkers, guys. Mm-hmm. You know me now.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay. I walk back, I go to walk to the bathroom, they're like, "Hello, beautiful.
Oh, Jesus.
Can I ask you?" On the back of their cream, by the way, is anus seed oil or anus seed.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. Look, anus. Turn it over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And laugh at it like a girl like a little schoolgirl like me.
I don't really like potty humor. That's not my thing.
Okay. You're kind of above it. Is that why you get on at the comedy store?
Thing I've ever
fucking asshole.
I'm more into like Twain.
Shania. That's his real name. A lot of people don't know that.
It is, yeah. It was Shania Clemens, right? Shania Clemens was his real name.
Still the one that says the N-word.
Oh, this has been fun. Tell everybody where to find you, Gary.
I will be living in Palms for the next... On Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter, at Gary J. Peterson Comedy.
Yeah, Peterson, S-E-N. All E's.
All E's. Mm-hmm. And then GaryPetersonComedy.com. And then I have a podcast. We're getting the band back together, which you both should be on. You guys should come on.
Wait, is that the name that's of a the real podcast? Thing?
Yeah, we're getting the band back together with Gary Peterson.
I thought you were saying like you had a podcast and you were using or getting the band back together to restart the podcast up again.
Well, I do have to assemble the original team, so I have to get the band back together to get, the band back together. It's a very meta thing. And the first talk is about the band. So
no. The band?
The band?
I would love to
talk about the band. You got to bring me.
So it's a podcast about talking about all things you love. So it's like the opposite of you guys. It's a lot more about
I love the band.
Yeah.
The band is good. We've jammed out to the band.
Anybody who's ever given me a ride has jammed out to the band.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I put it on and I was like, "Do you mind this?" And you're like, "Mind."
We've spent me tell you 12 hours of band stories.
Love it. Love it. We spend more time in a car together than people I've dated. It's great.
That's awesome.
I know
Yeah, we drove from Salt Lake City to LA. Mm. Got some alien jerky.
Well, all right.
Gary Peterson.
Before you two start making out, Gary, thanks for coming on the show.
Carmen, it is an absolute
I'd
pleasure.
I appreciate if you keep your fantasies off the podcast, Carmen.
What?
What?
I was pretending that you were fantasizing about us making out.
Oh, hey, listen, abroad can dream, right?
Mm-hmm. Is it legal for a woman to dream?
I do it anyway, so I don't care about it.
Might be an old 1800s law still in the book that broads aren't allowed to dream.
Man, I feel like a Brian.
This has been No Sir, I Don't Like It, episode 22.
Yeah, there you go. And also, guys, follow us on the Instagram at No Sir Pod, on the Twitter as well. Download all of our shit, subscribe, write us a little review if you like us. If you don't, keep your fucking mouth shut. And
I say go ahead and tell us.
Oh yeah, that's fine too.
Just direct it at Brian. Carmen's sensitive.
I'm not. Shut up. Or you could email us if you have any thoughts, thoughts, complaints about the podcast or things that you personally don't like. Email us at nosiridontlikeitpodcast@gmail.com. That's No, sir, I don't like it. podcast@gmail.com. We actually got an email this last week.
Oh, yeah. Matt told me to tell you, don't take him seriously. He's being funny.
I know he is.
Okay. He was worried that you were going to take that seriously.
Everybody just doesn't get it. Yeah, I don't really care. Here's the reason he wrote in. He said that you...
Me?
Brian, you claim the United States is the best country in the world. You certainly are entitled to that opinion.
I did not say that.
You did say it.
In jest?
I'm certain this email is in jest as well. So,
you told me to tell you not to take it seriously, but I'm already taking it too seriously.
I know.
All right, Maloney, let's see what other shit you have to say.
Brian, you claim the United States is the best country in the world. You certainly are entitled to that opinion, and I really can't speak to it as you've traveled the globe far more than I have myself. What I don't like is that your basis for this claim is because you cried while you were looking at a couple of trees.
Oh, yeah. Oh, thank God somebody made fun of me for that. I'm buying Matt a fucking donut. I'm going to Dunkey's and I'm getting him a maple bar.
Nature can be at times breathtaking, and it isn't hard to imagine someone tearing up a bit when faced with its
conjoined
beauty.
Redwoods. You look at conjoined redwoods that are thousands, they're older than Jesus. You try not crying.
But you say that you fell to your knees weeping at the sight.
I did not fucking say that. I fell to my knees because I was on DMT.
I'm not a macho guy who thinks men ought to not show emotions, but I personally can't understand the severe of a response from someone who isn't dendrophobic or high out of their gourd, which explains that then.
In I any wasn't case, on DMT. Hey, my friend on that road trip fucked the ground. This is some, you think I crying at trees? I woke up, my friend Dave, he's not, I don't really know him anymore, but you know how the roots form like a V in the ground of a tree? I woke up, we were camping at fucking, Yosemite, and he was humping the V, and the, he had like scraped up the dirt to make it like soft, like sand, and he was fucking the V of a tree.
Sad Woods National Forest.
Yeah.
That is...
He says, anyway, in any case, and Brian's got a lot of weird friends. Somebody that got paid to shit in somebody's mouth. Somebody's
oh, yeah, Rose.
Fucking the, yeah, somebody fucking tree.
Dave.
A lot going on.
That's the Rose, whole gang's Dave. Here. The mouth shitter, the tree fucker here. How about a cross-country road trip?
Just doing horrible things in a mine to people.
He says, like
in any case, that is a very shallow way to determine a country's worth, and you leave me as I would be mass murder of a crowded soccer stadium over the other types of crowded sports stadiums, unconvinced.
Confused, but I think he's wrong.
Yeah, the rest is just a sign off. All right.
Dude, real quick, though, the redwood trees literally only exist in this country. I don't think that's that shallow of a reason to base your love for a country. They're not even in Canada. The coastal redwood only exists in this country. So if that does something to me, then no other country can do that for me.
Not only that, but I just recently went and saw them. Granted, I was high as fuck on mushrooms, but they were gorgeous. And
they're
unreal,
and they're soft.
And it makes you feel... they're so soft! How are they so strong and live forever?
I know. I'm moisturized. I as a park ranger that was not high as fuck all the time, like you two
you're a park
hippies.
I wasn't high when I saw those redwoods. I was drunk.
Okay.
You just said you were on DMT.
I was lying. That's the third time I've said I made that up.
Oh.
But you did cry.
Yes, that's okay. True.
But
they are breathtaking. It's beautiful.
The beauty of nature and like everything that hits you. I think about like, what was this world without us? What was this country without its people arriving and changing? This could have been everywhere. And yeah. Who knows what could have been. Like, I'm a little emotional right now thinking about what we could have other than that beauty that's preserved. So, America, keep it up.
America, this bud's for you. Thank you so much. That.
Bye, guys.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
What the fuck is the fucking matter? What are you stupid or what?
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.